right. You are listening to KHUM. It is time for us to continue our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing discussions. And joining me here in the studios, and thank you so much for coming all the way down here, is the executive director of the Humboldt Area Center for Harm Reduction, known as Hatcher. And I'm super excited to have you here, Brandy Wilson. And let's start off by just giving your background and credentials, because you have a lot of education.
Hi, thanks for having me. So I have a master's degree in sociology.
From Humboldt State.
From Humboldt State.
You're one of their, like, on the website, it says, like, special high-achieving graduate profile thing.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it because
it's actually very nice.
Nice. I know that I did see it, because it was shown to me, I haven't, like, gone to the website and looked and no. But, yeah, I graduated from Humboldt State with both my master's and my bachelor's, and I started my education actually in the Central Valley in addiction studies, and I did all of those courses and felt that change at a higher level was where I needed to go, and so I just kept going.
So let me just, I think that there's a lot of people out there who are unclear about what sociology is. So in very broad terms, it's the study of the systems that make a society work or not work for various groups of people. As one person I know puts it, systems of oppression.
Yeah. Systems and the power within those systems and how to use that power and where that power has been used historically, and our systems are very oppressive.
So you deal with a group of folks who are chronically the low people on the ladder of power. You know, because I know that people who have a drug addiction are often without power and often without rights, that we know statistically that people who are incarcerated are incarcerated at very high numbers, disproportionate to their race or gender. We know a lot of things about the inequality of our systems.
Yes. Yeah. Drug users. Well, and it's mainly drug users without money. We have a lot of affluent middle class drug users, and I think a lot of times we forget about that the majority of our drug users actually can sustain their lives and do just fine for a period of time. But the ones that we view as problematic are the ones that we see, are the ones that may have many issues going on, not just, you know, one. They may have poverty and drug use, which is a deadly combination.
And they may have poverty, drug use, and mental health issues.
Right. And then, oh God, what are we going to do?
So let's start with the very, very basics. What is harm reduction?
Harm reduction is a way to reduce the harms associated with drug use, or even larger, just risky behaviors. Mm-hmm. Risky behaviors that can be anywhere from too much sugar, drinking and driving, not wearing your seatbelt, to having to reuse a needle over and over again.
And the danger with needle reuse is that is how very dangerous diseases get spread, like HIV, AIDS, like hepatitis C.
Yes, and we can go even further. That's how we see high rates of soft tissue infection, endocarditis, which is an infection in the lining of the heart. That's how we see so many infections and people dying on operating tables from sepsis because their abscesses got out of control and now they're dead because they had to use needles that were not clean.
So one of the things I read on your website, which I thought was particularly interesting because it's on the part about what you do and who you are. Mm-hmm. So you have certain principles. So you accept that for better or for worse, that illicit drug use is a part of our world, and you're trying to work to minimize the harmful effects rather than just ignore or condemn them.
Yes.
That's like the first thing.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really an important thing to say, because we know that we have people in our community who have a drug use issue. Mm-hmm. And no matter how draconian the laws have been, no matter how much society has turned our noses up at these people and these practices, people still do that. And in parts of the world where there's like death penalties for it, people still do it.
Yes. Because we have this notion or idea that we can control other people's behaviors by laws or by shaming or by weird made up penalties of some sort. People don't really respond well to that. And especially people who have been told these certain things that have been systems of oppression for so long, now those systems are telling them, you know.
It's internalized.
Right. Telling people what to do has been ineffective. And I think we saw that in DARE programs. We saw that in Just Say No. And we have to realize that we can't control other people.
Right. And I see, I'm just looking at the stuff on your website because I've spent several hours like gazing at it. It's really beautiful and it's got tons of great information. There's a lot of educational components. There's research studies. There's webinars. Anybody who's interested in this issue, it's a great, great website. It's HACHR707.org. And then you can like read all about this. And I've kind of fallen to it. It's very fascinating to me. So you call for the non-judgmental, non-coercive provision of services and resources to people who use drugs in communities in which they live in order to assist them in reducing attendant harm, and that being drug-free is not necessarily a precondition for getting help.
Right.
Because, I mean, when you talk to people, I mean, one of the things that you do is you do needle cleanups and you do needle exchanges.
Yes.
And I can see the value in that. As a parent, I have kids who play. They're older now. They still play. The last thing I want them to do is come across a syringe. And I think that goes for everybody.
Yeah.
So doing needle exchanges means that somebody uses it and then it gets taken away. Right.
Yeah. There's an option for disposal. Like there's a place to put them.
Right.
Currently throughout Humboldt County, like there's minimal places to put them. And we're in rural areas. So many times I give you one and I take one and that's all that can happen. Sometimes that's not going to be effective, especially, you know, people going out to Phillipsville or somewhere like that.
And I did see that in Eureka on the LostCoastOutpost.com today, there was a story about how we're getting some Sharps disposal in Eureka publicly, which I think is really exciting. It's a great service to folks because, I mean, let's face it, middle class drug users get a prescription most of the time. They get their needles prescribed. They turn them in at the pharmacy or at the doctor's. Like everything is like, oh, you are using medicine that is prescribed for you.
Actually, I don't know about if they turn them into the pharmacies. We take in, we support a number of people who don't have appropriate access to diabetic supplies. So we provide needles for people who need diabetic supplies. And we also provide disposal. A lot of times, people aren't aware that they can take them in proper containers to Humboldt Waste Management as well.
And when you say proper containers, you mean a hard closed
red Sharps container.
Can't be poked through.
Yes, because we always need to be mindful of, you know, who's coming next after.
Right.
And a lot of times we're finding people that are middle class people that have to use syringes for different things. They're unaware that syringes shouldn't go in the trash.
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal. So those ones aren't going on the ground, but they're going in the trash.
And then the people who handle the waste get poked.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Yeah.
That's very scary. Because even if the needle itself doesn't have anything infectious, just being poked while you're dealing with garbage is a dangerous thing.
Right. And so needle sticks are horrible. And improperly disposed needles are horrible. And those are things that the realities of the world that we live in right now.
Well, even if you just narrow it down to what about people who have to control their diabetes with injections who are homeless? Like just that population alone is generating a fair amount of Sharps that need to be properly disposed and collected.
Yes. Just that one alone.
Just that one perfectly legal, perfectly legitimate population. So we have, you guys recognize that it's not just, oh, you're doing drugs, we'll make it safer for you.
Right.
There's more components to it than that.
We provide all kinds of services because, yes, we have this one tool that you use within your daily life that's extremely critical to keeping not only you safe, but our overall community health well as well. So People also get connection. People participate in whatever way is possible for them. We have mental health services come in. We have AOD services come in.
AOD?
Uh-huh.
What is AOD?
Alcohol and other drugs.
Thank you.
We have two.
Talk to me as if I know nothing about this except what I've read on your website.
Sorry. So alcohol and other drugs comes over and they do on demand crisis intervention as well as connection to treatment.
That's exciting.
Yes.
And I know.
It's called snacks and services.
Nice. So you get people in with something to eat and then you talk to them and try to make connection. And maybe after some time they develop some trust and they say, maybe I'm interested in getting some help.
Yeah. And a lot of times, so that's we see progress in even smaller increments than that, right? So we see progress and sustainable progress from our experience and research shows that someone starts coming in, then they start participating. Then maybe they start engaging with trying to get an ID. Then maybe they start engaging with their health issues and maybe their mental health issues, and then maybe treatment.
And maybe educational options. I've taught a number of free classes through College of the Redwoods in work readiness and computer skills. And a fair number of my students have been homeless and have had what I can only assume are maybe some drug issues and some mental health issues and maybe all of the above. And they're still like trying to make their lives better. And it's very inspiring, to be honest, as an instructor.
Yeah.
You know, I have somebody who came in a couple years ago to my classroom, soaked to the skin in the middle of winter and wanted to learn how to use a computer. That's impressive.
That is. And it takes a lot for people that have no shelter or not a lot of support for them to show up one place in a day on a scheduled time is a massive undertaking. And we need to celebrate that.
Big life skill.
Yeah. You have to move. Think about if you had to move every single thing you owned from one side of town to the other with not only no car, but maybe a flat tire or a broken axle that you had to figure out how to fix along the way while people are yelling things at you while you realize you don't feel well and you're just trying to get to this one place within this specific block of hours. So we have seen numerous times where people can't quite get to us on the right day. So when even they finally get to us on the right day, that's a celebration. And then next we work on, can you get here on time?
That's really huge. It means that people who can learn how to get to a place at a specific time can start engaging in getting services.
Yes.
And help. And all of those things. So I'm looking at your website and it says the lifetime cost of medical care for each new HIV infection is over $400,000.
Yes.
And that that syringe exchange programs prevent at least 30 new HIV infections. Is that in the state, in the county, in the city? Like how, I'm looking, like trying to understand where these numbers are. So we have in Humboldt County, it says 3 times the state and national average of people who use needles.
Yes.
So if we can do needle exchange, we are serving a large number of people.
A very large number of people. And we haven't
had. And we talk about diabetes as well, not just illicit drugs.
Yes. So then you can add diabetes as well. However, because we are such a vast rural area and we have only really had small access to proper services for injection drug users, NORCAP has run a van for a number of years in Rains, and they've both done amazing. And NORCAP has done an amazing job at keeping our HIV transmission rates very low, and that's amazing. But while we weren't looking, the Hep C rates are out of control. So our services for injection drug users have been really underfunded and just not really accessible enough. And so that's how we've gotten to having the highest rates of Hep C in California, in having massive rates of soft tissue infection, endocarditis, all of those related things.
It's a lot. And then if, you know, even if you are these people are doing it to themselves, school, And I know from what I've learned of sociology that people don't do this in a vacuum.
Right.
That there are systems of power and oppression and hurts and pains that lead people down this road. But even if you were taking that hard line, needle exchanges protect law enforcement officers and first responders because there is a lower chance of them getting a needle stick because the needles have been properly disposed of.
Yep.
They protect our kids and pets because they're not lying around in garbage. And I know that you're in a position where you've been so badly harassed doing needle cleanups, trying to help, that you can't let volunteers go out there now. It's just you and the board.
Yes.
That's really upsetting to me. Like, if you're a group who says, we want to make this safe for everybody and we know how to do this in a safe and legal way, like disposing them in proper sharps containers and not getting stuck in the process, why would we not want you to do that?
Right. So now my volunteers and I, we adopted our block. We don't go far from home.
Okay.
Our block is now beautiful. And we do our block 3 times a week.
Wow.
And we have been weeding in the gutters because they were full of weeds and trash and it began to flood the road. So our block is improved since we moved in. And that is our job during the week. Our board and other volunteers, they go out on Sunday or Saturday. I'm not sure which one.
On a weekend.
They take care of that. It's mainly Sunday. And they are in charge of the larger community clean up and reach out. We deal with a lot of stuff every day in Hatcher, and so my job is to support home, and so I stay close to home and support.
I think that's very nice for the people of the communities you're dealing with, that they know that you care enough to like make home nice and to make it available. And you know, it's just another way of showing this is what we do when we take care.
Yes. And people who, I know a lot of people say drug users don't care. They don't care about this. Well, maybe they just haven't had the proper opportunity recently at whatever part they could participate in. If you are volunteering, you can take time throughout the day to take care of yourself as well. And we really do make it so that it is sort of a family. Everybody participates, but you also get to, you know, just be for a while as well. And that seems to be really working well because everybody has value and everybody's work has value.
And that is so important to me because I think that a lot of the times when we hear the rhetoric from the hardline camp that is these people are no longer have value.
Right.
As the message. And some of my most favorite students, as I was saying off the air, are recovered drug addicts who have gone down that difficult path, brought themselves back, redeemed their lives, and now they're in school to do something good, to help other people. And they are incredibly, as a group, they're incredibly hardworking and they're incredibly passionate about making good in the world and doing well in school. Those are just the ones I'm working with personally. And, you know, in the 4.5 years I've been teaching at the college level, I've had a fair number of them. And they stand out like bright lights sometimes in a classroom. And they share openly about their experiences. And the people around them can learn so much about the redemption of an individual.
Yes. And I see that even with people who are currently using. Because the people who volunteer many days are still currently using.
Talk to me a little bit about a spectrum of experience as opposed to this black or white notion of either you use drugs and you're bad or you don't use drugs and you're good.
The harm reduction spectrum?
Yeah.
Okay, so drug use, just like many other things in our life, isn't black and white. It's not you use or you don't. There's a spectrum of use, and it's from full-blown, chaotic, just rough use all the way to full, rigid, maintained, sustained 100% abstinence. Most of us fall somewhere in the middle.
Sure. If you take an aspirin when you have a headache, you fall in that middle part.
Really far over on the end of sustained abstinence, but you still do. Or if you have 3 glasses of wine at night, you're a little farther this way. Or, you know, you pop a few extra pills, that's drug use too.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you do a few lines of cocaine while you were away on a conference with some banker buddies. That's drug use too. All of the
drug use is not tied to a specific economic class.
No, and in fact, most of our drug use happens in middle and upper class demographics. They have the money for the drugs. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of our drug use. It's the problematic. It's that we can see certain drug use. Mm-hmm. That's the drug use we're mad at. Those are the people we take away value from. The people that do their drugs in their own homes, they can keep their value as long as they keep
their secret.
Right.
Interesting. I'm puzzled. I mean, I understand why. We had our discussion this morning and we read some posts from Facebook. Hmm. And you in particular and your organization in general has been the target of a lot of vitriol. And I really don't want to go into what people are saying, but I really want to focus on the fact that if what you're doing is reducing harm, not just for individuals, but for the community at large, that's really valuable for me as a citizen and as a taxpayer. Mm-hmm. The last thing I want is somebody not doing needle cleanups and not doing needle exchanges, because it costs me in my safety and it costs me in my money, because if people are getting very, very sick, it's expensive.
Yes.
I mean, if the moral side and the humanity side aside, just being, you know, nuts and bolts money stuff, it costs me more money if people get very sick.
Right. How much do you think a liver transplant costs? And with our rates of Hep C, I mean, that's our future if we don't deal with it. I think that where that's concerned, I think it's really interesting that a small, loud force has been allowed a platform to act as experts on matters of public health.
And
I think that is the issue.
So this is based on your work. And I say this because I see it on your website. You have a whole page devoted to actual research and education.
Yes.
So anybody who's interested can go to the Hatcher website. And there's evidence-based practices, there's research, there are webinars, there's all of this information that is available for free to anybody who wants to get educated about it. And we were talking before we went on the air about the idea of best practices and how much, as professionals, we really are excited about and dive into the idea of best practices. Because why reinvent the wheel? Why do something that's not best?
Well, you hit it with one word. You said people that want this information. So if you come from a point of bias already, if your moral standing doesn't allow you the freedom to explore evidence, then your internal self is not going to want any of that information.
Well, I feel like if you're concerned about drug use in our community and the public health consequences of it, and I think that that's a real legitimate concern that many of us have.
Yes.
That's a way where you go, okay, so what are the best practices based on research? What does science tell us works best?
Right.
Because we know what doesn't work, because we have lots and lots of evidence about that.
We have decades of evidence.
Probably
evidence
centuries.
Upon evidence. And what seems to be the constant idea that would be the solution is that we continue to use this drug war, just say no approach, but we put different stickers on it. It's still the same approach. It's still, these are matters of life and death now. We have 5 times the state and national average of overdose.
We were running PSAs about getting trained and getting naloxone.
Yes.
So that anybody in the community can be there to save somebody's life.
Yes.
That's a huge deal.
Yes.
And that's a relatively new development, yes?
In this county or in...
In general? I mean, I'm fairly ignorant about this stuff.
No, it's been around for a while.
Why is it suddenly becoming public then?
Because middle-class white kids are dying from opiates.
And so we just had our opiate town hall this week.
Mm-hmm.
You had your week last week. What was it called? Sorry.
Harm Reduction Week.
Harm Reduction Week. Thank you.
I do want to say that in our community and many other communities, people of color have been dying at high rates of opiate use and heroin for a very long time. And we did not, as a country, as a state, as a community, did not pay attention to it until middle-class white kids started dying. So there, it's good and it's bad, right?
So the sociologist speaks. Right. Powers of right. Structures of power and privilege and oppression in our community. And that makes sense.
Right. And, you know, many of the tribal communities around here, they have been experiencing loss much greater than we have.
It's been an epidemic.
You know, if you need naloxone, please contact us, contact public health, contact your doctor, get naloxone. It's really easy to be trained. All bias aside, like these are matters of life and death. Yeah.
Saving lives. And you don't know who will at some point find that moment of self-redemption and turn a corner and become somebody incredibly useful, powerful, give back to the community, do great things. Like, everybody has so much potential. Everybody has so many gifts. We just have to get people to stay alive long enough to discover them.
Right.
I mean, that's just me as an educator.
And be kind to them when they're on their path. Don't be so, you know, be kind. Everybody hurts in different ways and shows it in different ways. Some people are mean to themselves. Some people are mean to others. So when people are trying, acknowledge. Be kind.
I love how you celebrate when people are able to show up. I think that's wonderful.
It's great. I give mad high fives for like someone who is just consistently, I'm like, come on, please just help me out here. Get here on the right day. And then I'm like, yes. And I've seen massive success with
and
that.
And before people roll their eyes and think, get here on the right day, come on. I'm like, I run a class at HSU in journalism. We do the radio news on the student station. And I'm always telling my students, the first thing you have to say is what day and date it is. Because when you're in college, you have different schedules on different days. And somebody needs a you are here moment of today is Friday.
Right.
Like, that's important. You can lose track of that really easily, especially if you don't have a home, for example.
Or a watch, or a phone, right. Or a pocket calendar, or your daily planner.
Or access to the newspaper, or the internet, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, last thoughts. I'm just so impressed. I can't believe you've had this amazing organization in our community for a number of years that I was completely oblivious to.
That is one thing that all this has done. It has made sure that people know that we exist. So people know there is naloxone. People that need us know we're here. And I appreciate that. And I want to say, you were talking about our website. Our board member, Janae, she built that website. She did an amazing job. She's constantly updating.
It's beautiful and it's easy to find information on because, as I said, I was completely oblivious and I've spent a couple hours reading. And boy, am I fascinated by all the different things that you're able to do to help people just survive another day, have another chance, have a place where they are appreciated.
Yeah, everybody
make it
has
safer
value.
For everybody. All of that stuff is so basically important for us having a caring community. I think that's something we all want, a place where we care about each other and feel cared for. At a very basic human level.
Yes, we just have to figure out where that is, that meeting spot for everyone is.
How it works.
Mm-hmm.
Any last words?
Harm reduction saves lives. And if you need naloxone, please reach out to us.
Give the website, I can do that one, hachr707.org. And a phone number or a location where people can find you?
Phone number is 707-407-6013.
Brandy Wilson from Hatcher, thank you so very much. This has been completely fascinating, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. This is KHUM. We are wrapping up our last conversation of this year's Stop the Violence, Start the Healing discussions. Tomorrow evening is our party. We'll talk about that in a little bit right here on KHUM.